Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Book Wars podcast. I'm Kristen. I'm on with Kate and Chris, and today we'll be talking about Thrawn. We'll be talking about chapters 8 through 14. So obviously this is the second in the second pod in discussion of Thrawn. So if you missed that first one, episode 10, definitely go back and give that a listen. But otherwise, we're gonna dive in. What are you guys drinking today?
I am just finishing off a bottle of gin right now because we're recording on Wednesday and it's already been a week.
Gin. What are you drinking, Chris?
I am drinking Laphroaig Single Malt Scotch because it's been that kind of week.
It sure has been. I can't drink right now.
But it's already been a week. So now if I also say it's been a week, it sounds like we're just both in like a deep like pit of despair.
I am technically
a pit of despair right now. I need to go see my psychiatrist, so
I was gonna say I think all three of us are in a pit of despair. I went to work for 3 hours today and then came home. So it's fine. I mean I worked, but like whatever. And I'm drinking orange LaCroix because I can't drink for reasons that we're not going to get into on the podcast, but everyone is aware of that knows. Anyway, so you guys want to talk more about Thrawn, the character?
Do I ever?
Great, because that's what's first in the outline that I have open and I'm reading.
Woohoo!
That's like 2-3 episodes in a row at this point.
I know. I didn't read ahead again. I need to I need to make sure that I start doing that, but I'm never going to, so
One of these days.
Well, I'll start because we got more art talk, and you know how much I love art. But I found out during this chapters 8 through 14, that he studies art really to understand him being Thrawn, studies art really to understand culture and to like be able to react militarily to that and really try to predict what other people are going to do. And I thought that was really cool, but also was like, I just thought he really liked art because I'm me and I think the best of everyone and think it's super innocent. But I don't know. Were you guys surprised that he was using like the way his thinking about it? You probably weren't because you're smart, but
you're a sweet baby. I mean, you kind of get a hint of that in Rebels a little bit, but not necessarily to the extent that Tim Zahn, the author, explains it here, because, you know, he's got this giant collection of his artifacts related to Phoenix Squadron in his office, like a completely normal person, and I think at one point he's talking to, it's probably like Lieutenant List or one of those asshole underlings or something, during one of the episodes, but he's like literally took a fucking chunk of wall out of somewhere that Sabine had graffitied with the Rebel Firebird, and he's kind of explaining, you know, the pattern of the brush strokes and all this other stuff. So you do kind of get a hint of that, but it's not necessarily explicit how much that really really goes into his military strategization until you dive into the book.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it was also definitely really interesting because obviously you have, you know, the view of him being so interested in art, Star Wars Rebels on Disney XD, but then also like the history of Thrawn as a character. I don't know how much you both know about it, but basically is one of his like hallmarks in Heir to the Empire and the Thrawn trilogy that Timothy Zahn originally wrote for the character is that he's just super into art and like sees all these things in it that nobody notices. So, A, I found it really interesting that Timothy Zahn and, you know, the Lucasfilm Story Group decided to bring that back and like really bring back that throwback to the Legends universe. But also, like, I don't know, his fascination with art like makes sense as like a extension of like culture and like military warfare and designs and stuff. But it's also very like, it's very savant-like. I don't know. I was very reminded of Sherlock Holmes and, like, kind of the Sherlock Holmes in the original books by Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, but mostly Benedict Cumberbatch's, like, kind of autistic Sherlock Holmes in BBC Sherlock. Like, yeah. He just, like, sees, like, all these, like, tiny things and like doesn't really interact with people normally, and like I don't know, it was fascinating to me to watch that interaction of just like the way he is around people versus the way he is interpreting things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of what brought up a question for me. Like, I mean, you kind of mentioned that Sherlock Holmes is probably, at least in our probably our more frequent modern interpretations of him, he doesn't think like other people. He's not typical of humans, and so I kind of it just brings up a question for me that probably won't get answers about how typical Thrawn is of the Chiss, because he mentions at one point, I think when he's going on that long monologue about why he loves art, that the others in the military just didn't understand what the point of it was and thought he was being ridiculous. So, I don't know. He might just be this interesting outlier in every single possible way, but
he's so
we
cool.
Don't have an answer to that.
Yeah, he's so cool.
Yes.
I have 2 points, not to monopolize. I have 2 points, and they're both not on the outline. Are you guys ready? This is really the first time we saw him spending real time alone, right? Like, when he loses track of time when he's in his bunk.
Yes.
Which was really interesting. I think that just kind of jumps off of what you guys are talking about anyway. But he's, like, in his K-hole about whatever, the Knight Rider? Is that,
Night Swan.
Whatever. Is that the people that he's obsessed with trying to catch?
Person.
Okay.
Night Swan is a person.
Great.
Yes.
I don't know. They italicize it. People don't know. However, the other thing that I wanted to bring up was this was really the first time we also saw him when he had the pirates all lined up. He's talking about, like, the heat they're giving off, which I think, like, sort of strangely ties in with his fascination with art and, like, the kind of vibes that he picks up from things. I mean, I know that he, like, reads facial expressions and stuff, but I think this was probably our first, like, really, really high-stakes, high-profile situation where, like, somebody would have reacted to something like that because they were obviously captors. And I thought that was a really interesting wrinkle. It was like, I can see their temperature rising. I'm like, okay, that's not normal, but sure.
I think they mentioned at some point that he can see in a wider variety of wavelengths than humans so he could see in infrared, right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah,
Thank you.
So. I mean, I think that's definitely something that's kind of under-recognized about him, because he looks humanoid, right? I mean, obviously he's a victim of a lot of racism, speciesism, but like racism in the Star Wars universe, and particularly within the Imperial hierarchy, but like his skills aren't just really good and really well honed. They're literally superhuman. So like that's always something to like keep in mind, that I feel like kind of gives him an edge because he's underestimated because he isn't human, but it actually gives him an advantage in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's when he was about to get his ass kicked, right? And then doesn't get his ass kicked because he can see the people coming. And Eli's
yes!
I don't know how the fuck he did that, but...
Yes! I think that's it. Yep.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Totally.
I did not make that connection. I think it was just, like, really more evident here when he was like, I see their temperatures rise, and I was like, okay, weirdo.
Yeah, totally, though. Yeah, that's a great point.
I shouldn't say weirdo, but weirdo. Just, like... I don't know. It's interesting reading it, because it's, like, I don't have it pictured in my head necessarily, so, like, I'm kind of reading him as a person, which I know is, like, my own bias here, right? But, so I'm
That's
like,
actually a really interesting point to bring up.
Yeah,
we should come back to that at some point.
I was going
to
say, we'll put a pin in that for the wrap-up episode so that we can wax poetic about our humanoid bias.
I love that. Thank you, Keeks.
Sure. You're welcome for not going off the outline.
I was going to say, make a note of that later, because I'm totally not going to remember.
Okay, I'll stick it in here.
One thing I want to talk about was that, like, Thrawn's attitude is very interesting, because, like, you kind of get the sense at certain points that he's, like, willing to go along to get along, but, like, he also, like, doesn't, like, that's not really true. Like, he is borderline insubordinate in a lot of ways, but he has a lot of issues with the chain of command, but he also has like a deep respect for loyalty and like effort, I guess. I don't know. He's a big E for effort kind of guy.
I'm trying to decide how much I agree with that because, hang on. I need to collect my thoughts.
Being willing to learn and try new things and at least like go about things in the right way, even if they're less competent. Because you look at a guy like Captain Chano on the Thunder Wasp, which is Thrawn's second ship after he's court-martialed off of the Blood Crow. And like he is, you know, he's fine. He's kind of mediocre. Like, he doesn't really know what to do. He's in over his head when the Thunder Wasp gets into that fight with the Vulture droids.
That was so cool.
Wasn't it?
It was great. That was one of the better space battles that I've seen in Star Wars novels.
Oh my god. I haven't seen one yet, and so I was just so pumped about it. It was awesome. Anyway.
And, like, that's another one. I don't know. I'm going to keep doing this. This is one of my things. That's another one of the things that I thought would have been really cool to see on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, what did they say? 700 Vulture droids?
Yeah, just, like, so many. So many.
Yeah, no. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. Just, like, very Siege of Coruscant vibes from episode 3, I guess.
Totally.
But like, and also like, honestly, even looking at Eli, like, who is kind of a mess. Like, you know, he has his one skill where he's good at supply stuff, but he's like kind of a mess other than that. And like, Thrawn is definitely nurturing him for some reason, and he is very willing to work with Eli. And I mean, we don't really know why yet, but it's just kind of been interesting to me, his attitude toward like chain of command versus like skill versus loyalty. And I don't know, it's kind of an interesting web.
Yeah, definitely. So my question here is that I can't tell if Thrawn is willing to kind of, you know, put up with a certain level of incompetence because out of, you know, respect for who the person is or whatever the case may be, or if it's because he sees in them some greater, like, stepping stone to whatever he wants his goal to be. My question throughout all this is that I'm not really sure how much Thrawn actually likes people, you know? I think this is principally bothering me because, one,
you also don't like people.
I also don't like people. So maybe this is why this is like, I'm picking up on this because I'm just like, hey, look, it's me. One facet, and I don't know if you want to call it a drawback or a feature or whatever the hell, but of Zahn's writing style, especially when he's writing Thrawn and a little bit to a certain extent when he's writing Price, is you don't really get a lot of the character's interiority, and so there's just not a great end to how they're feeling about certain things. I think the person whose, you know, emotions and reactions to things that we can see most clearly, obviously that's Eli, but for everyone else, this is kind of comes off as so cold and calculating that I just can't really get a read on, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is where I am.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, go ahead, Keeks.
No, I was just going to agree with Kate, and I was also going to build off a delayed response to Eli talk from earlier. I just think that he is, like, really developing, and I know we're going to get to talking about what the hell Thrawn is doing this to him for, like, what is he helping develop him into and what is he going to use him for, but I think, like, Eli is so much more at peace with himself now and, like, what he's doing in the Navy because he can see how much he's learning from Thrawn. Is that the right read of that? It is, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I think about that section where Eli's on the Thunder Wasp and he's explaining to Chino how Thrawn pulled off another one of his miraculous missions, and Eli's just kind of like, this is kind of fun now, you know, I get to be like a magician's assistant, I know how the tricks are done. Mm-hmm. And I think he actually is enjoying that aspect of it.
Yeah, totally. I don't know, kind of going back to like how we don't get any a lot of interior thoughts. I almost think it might be part of the style of the book, because it like kind of like we talked a little bit last episode about how the first chapter in particular has kind of this like survival horror like thriller vibe to it, and like I almost feel like that's still intentional. Like it's on purpose that we're in the dark about like what Price's ultimate. I mean, Price's ultimate goal is pretty obvious, but like what Thrawn's ultimate goal is, and like what their motivations are, and what's going through their head, like. I almost feel like it's on purpose just to, like, kind of differentiate this book from just being, you know, your typical Star Wars novel where you have characters and you have plot and you have an ending.
I think that's a fair point, but also I think that can kind of come up short when in the sections where he's not writing about Thrawn. Like, we see in the section that Price strikes up some friendships, you know, with the Driller. Driller's a horrible name, by the way. It just makes me laugh.
Yes.
And, I don't know how to pronounce
that. Yeah, that just continuing the long tradition of Star Wars characters just having shit names.
And I don't know how to pronounce him. Jawahir? Wahir?
I've been going Jawahir in my head.
Okay. You know, she strikes up these friendships, and I think Zahn wants her to believe that these are actually, like, she actually thinks these people are her friends, like, she actually enjoys their company, but I'm just not getting that emotional connection between her and other people, and it's kind of, and that kind of wondering kind of pulls me out of the reading experience, because it's just kind of, like, niggling at me, and I can't relate to Price as well as I want to, because I can't see her relating to other people, and this is going into a whole lot of, like, writer talk, I realize, because
thank you, Kate.
That's what I do. And, you know, because this is bothering me, because this is a flaw I really have in my own writing, where I kind of, like, hold my characters at an arm's length, and because I do that, they do that, and so then you just kind of have a lot of trouble, like, just getting, you know, getting a wedge in there, and so I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, and you write sci-fi, so, like, it's another added layer of, like...
Right, of kind of a strangeness, right? So, I don't know.
Is that sci-fi fantasy? I don't know. What do you write?
I do sci-fi. I've done literary fiction before, and at least when I do literary fiction, that's been a huge problem. And, you know, my most successful story was when I'm writing about robots, and so, like, robots literally don't have feelings, so that actually became a strength for me. right, and so I don't know. So this, but we're not talking about robots here. You know, we're talking about actual life forms. So I'm just, I don't know. It's just been kind of a sticking point for me, and it kind of got to me in the first quarter of the book, and now I'm really noticing it, and I don't know where it's gonna go. Maybe there's a reason for it, but even if it's, you know, intentional, is it effective? I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're just gonna have to just. Wait, tune in next episode. But, like, I feel like we're just really going to have to see where these characters go and see how effective it ends up being, which is, like, always kind of, like, a weird position to be in as a reader, like, not only to not know what's going on, but to not know where the characters are going. So it's interesting. It definitely, like, I'm interested to see where it goes.
Yeah, as readers and, like, as podcasters trying to discuss this, like, in chapter chunks, right? We're like, we actually have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what's foreshadowing. Like,
right.
And it's all of our first time through this book, so nobody's read ahead, right? We're actually all in the same place for once.
I think so, yeah.
Woo.
Just Marimba.
Yeah, Miranda is always read ahead.
Shout out to Real Baby Bird.
At Real Baby Bird on Twitter.
Yeah,
we got
we
her
are.
To talk
we're
to us.
Throwing right under the bus again. Anyway.
For now being too on it.
I know. No, I love it. It's great. Now she's like, she's always waiting for the pod. When does the pod come out? I'm like, it's Tuesday. Every Tuesday.
So one thing I wanted to chat a little bit about is just kind of like in the three main characters that you see, or the three like points of view that you see very different experiences with like advancement and like going through or like rising up in the Empire. Cause like, that's also something that they're trying to do in their own way. Like you have Eli who's like trying to be like a master supply officer. You have Thrawn who's clearly trying to do something for the Emperor. You have Price who's just trying to get power, but like they're all kind of going about it with different experiences.
It's kind of interesting to me. The way that, I'm being very literary today. I'm sorry, everybody. But Zahn's
kind
of
it's
playing
a
with
book
Mo's.
podcast.
I know, but I'm being like, I'm super English nerdy today.
Yeah,
Oh my
just roll
god.
with it. Be
But
you.
okay, I'm doing me. That it's just super interesting to me that Zahn is kind of playing with one of these classic literary tropes, which I find really funny. Like if you think about something like Vanity Fair or something like that, it's all about social climbing. It's kind of fun to watch that play out in a Star Wars-y kind of way. So
yeah, well,
these are my thoughts.
And I think
I'm just imagining Reese Witherspoon in a shitty Star Wars movie. Sorry, continue.
Thank you. That's fine. No, but it's interesting though, because while I agree that it's obviously three very different points of view, I think the social, quote unquote, social climbing aspect or rising in the ranks aspect is present in all of those, even in Eli, obviously to a lesser degree. And Thrawn doesn't necessarily want to climb rank; he just wants to kick ass, I guess. But also that means climbing rank in the Imperial Navy for whatever that's worth. And then Price is the one who is just straight up I am using people to be more powerful and get to know people that I need to know so that I can do whatever I want.
Well, I mean, Thrawn wants to climb rank because he's hoping that if he becomes important enough, they'll help out the Chiss, right? And then Price is just trying to become high enough just to stick it to the Empire because they stole her parents' shitty little company. So I get it. Classic revenge.
Yeah.
And one thing that's super interesting to me is kind of they're all from different places. And Thrawn, as you say, he's just kind of doing well. And it's just happening. Things just keep happening well to him. And obviously he's seizing his opportunities and people are looking out for him, but it's kind of just happening. And then you have Price, who's the social climber of the group, as you said, Kristen. But then Eli, he has the best laid out plan of everybody. He's the kid from the middle of nowhere who's going to make it big, and he has a plan and he just wants to stick to it. And he is just along, it just is going out the window and he's along for the ride and he is just unable to adjust and he's just swept up in a tornado.
Oh, this poor dumb baby.
Poor, yeah.
Poor dumb baby.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to see the dichotomy of their different backgrounds and just their completely different experiences. And Thrawn has the least amount of planning of out of his future, I would say. He has an end goal, but he doesn't really have the steps planned and shit's just happening to him.
Or
and then Eli
he?
Has it all planned out and well, nothing's happening.
I see where Kate's coming from, but I also see where Chris is coming from. And I'm he is a statistician, right? So it's less about him having things planned out and more just having calculations for any number of scenarios, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because he he did talk about that a lot, obviously. They're playing cards, the most obvious, I am into statistics, let's talk about playing cards. But really, that's how I'm reading everything that he's doing, is everything is just really calculated because he's balancing risk reward for every single thing that he does, and when a new variable gets thrown at him, he just kind of crunches the numbers.
That is such a great way of looking at that. That's why you love him, because he does. We're the most ourselves. I'm just being super English nerd, and he's just being super mathy, and it's really good. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I agree. Oh, this also isn't on the outline, so.
One thing I just wanted to point out is that Chris, you mentioned them kind of being from different places. They're starting from different places as they try to climb the ranks of whatever they're doing. I kind of wonder, though, exactly how different they are. It's kind of interesting to see Zahn bring together these specific characters, because they're actually kind of not in exactly the same way, obviously, but kind of similarly disadvantaged, at least in my view. Thrawn, obviously, the things that put him at risk of his plans failing is that, he's quote-unquote an alien, and, that's unheard of, basically, in Imperial leadership, or even in the military. And, of course, he comes from the unknown regions, which, I mean, that's literally as far from the core worlds as you can possibly get. Price is from the Outer Rim. She's a woman. She was working at her parents' company. She's super small time, and she's you know, she has to play her cards exactly right to even get to Coruscant, which is what she's always wanted in her life, and it's kind of she kind of happens upon that by accident when the government of Lothal tries to take over her parents' company. And Eli, poor baby Eli, of course, is from wild space, and you know, and he feels like a fish out of water absolutely everywhere. He doesn't really even know how to begin to try to fit in when he's at that really fancy party during Ascension Week on Coruscant. You know, everyone knows that he doesn't belong there, and he knows he doesn't belong there. And Price sees him and is like, look at this fucking yokel. Like, he didn't even try to get rid of his accent like I did, you know? So it's kind of interesting just watching these parallels between all these characters. I'm really enjoying that.
Yeah. Okay, I would push back about Eli feeling uncomfortable all the time. I think he feels comfortable when he's explaining Thrawn to other people. We think we see
True.
Him look really comfortable when he's doing that. So,
oh yeah,
want to give him credit for that. He has like gotten to know Thrawn really well, which like, I guess it would have been kind of hard not to do that. But at least he, I don't know. I don't know if it's problematic to say he finds him interesting, so he's gotten to know him. But whatever, we can talk about that later too. Yeah, I was gonna say the wrap up episode is just gonna be all about Royce. I remember my point that I was going to make, which is, do we think, so, like, for Thrawn being a quote-unquote alien and everybody hating him so much, although, like, some people obviously not hating him, like his first captain and then the captain that he is operating under when he's the first mate or whatever it is in space.
yes.
I don't remember
first
what
doctor.
It is. For sure.
She knows. Thunder Wasp.
Thank you. But it's
also a side note.
Go ahead, Chris.
Sorry, very quick side note. Like, Thrawn as first officer is just like, he's literally Star Wars Spock. Sorry, continue.
I'm so happy.
Yeah,
thank
yes.
you for that.
But he, it's interesting. I'm like, oh shit, he's getting, I mean, obviously, like, the book is about him, so I didn't think that his shit was going to be done when it got court-martialed. But I was like, oh, how are they going to get out of this? And it's just, like, interesting that he seemingly seems to get off again and again. And I'm like, okay, well, if they hate quote-unquote aliens so much, why aren't they using that as an excuse to get him out of rank? Is it just because there are people who really think his skills are valuable and they're being smart? I mean, I think this is something that we'll find out more about, especially because we don't know how many strings Palpatine is pulling or not. So, I don't know.
That's true. I also think part of it is that he's so fucking smart that they can't exactly pin stuff on him. So,
well, that's fair, but like, even though he did the right thing, he got court-martialed for the like gas thing where they lost
that's true.
Like 12 canisters of gas or whatever. And he was like, I saved the people. And they were like, we don't fucking care.
That's true.
About the people.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. Can we have a minute for how many fucking courts martial happen around Thrawn? That he's just like a fucking magnet for problems. And like, part of it is like, I understand why, because it's the same problem of, it's the Black Lives Matter problem, honestly. But also, it just makes me giggle a little bit because I'm a terrible person. Anyway.
Well, it also makes me wonder how much people are getting court-martialed in the Empire as a whole. Like, I think that it's probably more often than around Thrawn than it is around anybody else. But at the same time, I'm like, that's a lot. And a lot of the people that we see in the Empire so far are like, you know, really have a dog-eat-dog mentality. So it wouldn't be surprised if they were like, you get a court-martial and you get a court-martial and fuck all of you. So, I don't know. I also don't know what's normal in, like, our military, but I feel like it maybe doesn't happen that often, unless
no,
it really
it
needs
yeah,
to.
Yeah, court-martial isn't good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and yet none of it seems to stick.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I
Which
think that was kind
I
of my
think,
point.
I think hopefully we'll learn a little bit more why.
That was my off-outline point, as usual.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Kiki.
You're so welcome.
One very short thing I wanted to mention about this book is I love the fact that the books give us a little bit more of an opportunity to see from the Empire's point of view.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Just because, like, you never get that. Like, for very good reason, you don't get that in the movies. Like, you don't see from the Empire's point of view. Like, obviously, when we read the Darth Vader comic, that's obviously from Darth Vader's point of view specifically. So you get some of it there.
He's an asshole, though.
Yeah. But, like, here in this book, you have the Empire as the good guy against, the pirate, smuggler, terrorist, Night Swan. Like, Night Swan is unequivocally the bad guy in this book, and, like, we're, like, rooting for Thrawn to figure it out to catch Night Swan.
Yes, yeah. Totally. And this is why I'm so excited to read stuff like Inferno Squad later this year and Lost Stars, which is another book by one of our faves, Claudia Gray. Like, both of those are from The Empire's Perspective, and I'm so pumped. Oh, and Phasma, obviously.
I was going to say, don't forget Phasma,
and Tarkin,
Kate.
Too. Tarkin is... Tarkin's written from, obviously, from Tarkin and also a bit from Vader's perspective, so.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is something that, like, the quote-unquote early Empire is, well, it's not really early Empire, but the Empire is grappling with, right, is, like, we see Thrawn get chastised for, like, valuing human life, and I think, mm-hmm. obviously, as, like, time goes on and people turn against people who, I mean, as the Empire starts to value people who don't think that way, it obviously gets worse, right? And I think that's a lot of that is what we're seeing. And I think, generally speaking, those are the people that we see going up against the Rebels, right? Except for in the case of the actual Rebels cartoon. But, I mean, mm-hmm. everything else that we've been seeing, I think, is like, we need people who don't give a fuck about human life to kick the shit out of the Jedi, right?
Right, totally. And, you know, we can go back and talk about Saw Gerrera for another, like, 5 hours like we did earlier in the podcast, but yeah.
Yeah, right.
Anyway.
Do you know how mad I am that there are space pirates in this book?
And there's no Hondo?
There's no Hondo. I'm so mad.
There is, in fact, still no Hondo.
Who's gonna write Hondo? I'm gonna tweet at, Delilah Dawson, because she seems like somebody who'd write me a Hondo book. I'm gonna give her my piggy
she'll
bank.
Find you and kill you.
I know. Like,
I will give you $12.
I will give you one half of something that I have in my apartment.
And also Chipotle coupons.
I'll give you my scary ass Sabine Funko who threatens me.
I have her behind my water bottle right now because she's glaring at me. I need her to be back there.
Like, this person ever gotten you, like,
I hope that,
anyway.
You know what, I hope for all of our sakes that this scary terrorist ends up being Hondo. It's definitely not Hondo. Hondo's dumb, but
there's literally no chance that it's Hondo since they said it was human.
I don't care. I hope Hondo shows up.
Anyway.
I'm done.
It's just Hondo in one of the scary, like, Arya Stark masks where he just, like, cut off a human's face.
Okay, Keeks doesn't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh my god, we have so many fandom crossovers in this episode.
We're right? So cool. We're so cool.
We're so accepting.
Even cooler than that time we talked about Shrek. Anyway.
Deep cut. Book Wars Pod deep cuts
always. So do we want to wrap? I know we talked a little bit about how we can't really talk about stuff because we don't know what's going to happen, so I think this is going to be one of those instances where the wrap-up episode we're really going to be able to make it a pretty good long one.
It's gonna be 2 hours, guys.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Get ready.
Don't like to do those 2-hour pods, so we'll break up into a couple. But
yeah, we'll figure it out. But I don't know. Like, one of the, I kind of love it. Like, I kind of love part. Like, that's like part of Star Wars. You know, like this. We talk about how we're like doing this to like talk about what the books add to the universe and like. At their most basic level, they're adding new stories to the universe. Like, we don't, you know, like, Bloodline, like, Rebel Rising and Bloodline, I love them, don't get me wrong, but we kind of knew how they had to end, right?
Sure.
Like, we knew the before and we knew the after. With Thrawn, we don't really know what's going to, I mean, we do a little bit, because we know that Thrawn survives and Price
Grand
survives,
Admiral,
and they
right?
both. Yeah, he's Grand Admiral. She's Governor of Lothal, but we don't really know what's going to happen in between, and like we don't really know what's going to happen to Eli. We don't know what's going on.
We don't know how Eli Night's dies.
Wrong. Oh my God! Shut up.
Yeah, there's like no, there's no chance Eli survives this, but no. Like. I don't know, it's like so fascinating to me to like get these kind of new stories of like I don't know what's going to happen, and like this is a thriller, it's a page turner that happens happening in the Star Wars universe in a way that, you know, Bloodline wasn't really, because you knew that we were dealing with evil people, and after a certain point we knew that we were dealing with the beginnings of the First Order.
It's true. I think I've been tweeting a lot about how we're going to be doing a whole bunch of kind of Rebels tie-ins to kick off the final season, which still doesn't have an air date. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Dave Filoni, you definitely don't listen to our podcast, but oh my God, can you give us a release date? Because I'm going to die. But this is actually, you know, I haven't really thought of it this way, but this is actually kind of the first of those tie-ins. You know, we're not going to know what happens to Thrawn until the final season of Rebels. And even then, you know, if he survives beyond that, which I don't know that he will, he might not. But yeah, it's all very open-ended right now.
I'll be really interested to see if he survives.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, maybe not obviously to you both, Heir to the Empire takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Aha!
Uh-huh. Thrawn isn't.
Well, that's going to be interesting.
But of course, that's in the Legends universe. So that doesn't apply anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Oh, and I know we have like a note on here about Thrawn chasing the Death Star. So just... I don't know, I'm just doing plot review, which is not what we're supposed to do on this podcast. But I thought it was interesting how...
Oh my God, Kristen, I had such a good point lined up for this. Jesus.
Oh, go ahead. You can do it.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh. Oh, what? That...
No, I mean I did, but...
No, go ahead, you can talk. I don't care. Oh, I was just going to say it's interesting.
Oh my God, this is great, I'm just fucking with you. No, I mean, like, the only point I was going to make is because, like, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen, but, like, to Thrawn, and, like, it'll be really interesting to see what happens to Thrawn. But at the same time, we do know what's going to happen because, like, one of the big... Because, like, you know, this book is, like, kind of a mystery. It's like a thriller. We're trying to figure out what's happening. And yet, the irony of that is the biggest mystery in Thrawn's life is where the fuck is all this Dunium going, where every single... Well, you know, it's a little bit of a deep cut, so maybe not every single person reading, but most people reading know that all that Dunium is going to the Death Star.
I don't know.
It was... I just appreciate that irony of like.
No, it's a great point.
Thrawn is the master of seeing what nobody else sees, and we get to know something before he does.
Yes, that is a great point.
Yeah, no, my point was it's interesting because Zahn just plants the seeds of that, right? He just, you know, talks a little bit about how like Thrawn is making Eli look up some shit, but then he gets like his new obsession, which is finding Thunderhawk.
Thunderhawk.
Sure.
Thunderbirds are go.
Day.
Oh
Day
God.
Goose. Anyway, that was my only point. Was just like I like how he like sowed the seeds.
Oh yeah, totally.
And then we'll come back to it because you know that's obviously like a foreshadowing. That's obviously a foreshadowing we can actually see because of Chris's whole point. So.
Right, and also I'm just seeing, especially in the last chapter that we read, chapter 14, just how Price's storyline is going to intertwine with all this because of the fucking duty, and I'm so ready for it.
I know it's about to be lit.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm really enjoying this book.
Me too, dude.
It's so fun. I know I was like complaining about the writing earlier, but it's still fun. I still love it. Whatever.
it's just a different feel. It like adds like a whole different vibe to Star Wars and a whole different genre in a way that like kind of like Rogue One did, you know, in its way for the movies. It added a whole different feel.
Totally.
Absolutely. Well, I think on that note, we will wrap. So I think this is going to end up being about the same length as last week, so that's good. We try to keep these to 40-45 minutes ish.
We don't all die.
So, because we could talk forever about nothing, as you guys may be well aware. But anyway, so that's been episode 11. Please, if you enjoy the pod, if you don't enjoy the pod, still say nice things about us. We read everything that you guys say. go on the iTunes and the Stitcher. I did fix the SoundCloud.
Ooh, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
So those are going up there, but I do have to like delete the old ones so that we have enough room. So if you're a SoundCloud listener, I don't know how many of you there are. However, if you want to listen on SoundCloud, go ahead and do that. Just if you want older archived episodes.
Just listen on our website. I was going to say, if you want to listen on SoundCloud instead, just don't and listen just straight off of bookwarspod.com.
I know.
Better.
You can just go to bookwarspod.com and find the backlog. But some people like the SoundCloud app. I get it. Anyway, so thank you guys for listening as you are doing. Tweet your questions at us. We would love for them to be about Thrawn, but we will also accept questions about anything Star Wars related or kind of not Star Wars related. We love questions. We're at Book Wars.
Chicago Pizza.
We'll answer. Well, if they're about Thrawn, we'll probably talk about them on the podcast. And if they're not about Thrawn, then we probably will just answer you on Twitter. But it'll be great either way.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for making good points. At Book Wars Pod. Wow. At Book Wars Pod on Twitter. BookWarsPod@gmail.com. I need to
Book set Wars that. Pod on Tumblr.
Yep, I need to set up the Gmail on my phone so I actually check it once in a while because I never do. But the people know where to find us.
I need to check the Tumblr Ask Box because I'm pretty sure no one ever talks to us on Tumblr. However, in case they do, I should actually like read what anyone might be saying.
This has been Kate, Kristen, and Chris. Chris is fine at his job. Kate and Kristen, not so much. But anyway, we will talk to you guys next week.
Wait, you didn't tell them what we're reading. No.
Oh my God. Go ahead, Chris.
Oh my God.
I know anything.
Good job, Kristen.
Fuck. I'm the worst. Go ahead, Chris. I never know what we're reading. I literally texted you today about what we're reading for today's podcast. So
what am I supposed to read?
Yeah, exactly.
For next week, if you are reading along with us, we are going to be reading Thrawn, of course, continuing with Thrawn, chapters 15 through 22. If you're not reading along with us and you're just listening, that's awesome too. And just to echo Kristen, we really want to hear from you. Tell us what you like about the podcast. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us if, I don't know, I had something witty and then I lost it. So just tell us what you like and don't like. We want to make the podcast better and we want to spread it and we want you to tell your friends about it. So thanks for listening and we hope you continue to listen.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
Fuck you.